This afternoon, I would like to read a few scriptures and then read from the sermon, Who Do You Say This Is? From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 44, I will read verse 26. Isaiah 44, verse 26. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers. That is our God. He sends his servants. He sends his messengers. They proclaim his counsel, and he performs it. In chapter 45, verses 2 and 3, I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places. Now comes the reason why. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. When the Lord, our God, reveals and entrusts to us the most precious things that have remained hidden, we should understand why this is happening. Here we are given the answer that we should recognize that it is the Lord who has called us by name. This includes you too, dear brother and dear sister. Sometimes we are not only humble, but also a little too modest. And we do not gratefully acknowledge that the Lord has also looked upon our lowliness and accepted us. Sometimes believers say, but I'm so bad, and. I believe the lady is here who said to me a few days ago, my whole heart, let me rather not say it. Yes, in our hearts have been all sorts of things, but God has given us a new heart, a new spirit by His grace. We are no longer the old people we were, even if some things still need to be renewed. Isaiah 45, the second part of verse 11. Isaiah 45, second part of verse 11. Ask me of things to come, my sons, and let the work of my hands be committed to me. We want to take this to heart. We are not here to do his work. We are here to be used by him so that he can do his work. There is a big difference between someone thinking that God absolutely needs them and someone saying, Lord, take whom you will, but leave me alone. Ask me concerning the things to come. Who? Everyone? My sons. That is what it is all about. It is about sonship, about the manifestation of the sons of God. Ask me concerning the things to come. Who may ask? You, my sons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We may ask him, and he will give us the answer. We may also take the second part to heart, and the work of my hands, not your work, but the work of my hands, be committed to me. How wonderful to know that his work is in his hands. It is up to him, and what he has planned, he will carry out. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Behind this, one could say, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. We can confidently say that this is what the Lord has spoken. And he stands by it. He will do it. He has declared the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. But he says, I command. It is a word of power that God speaks. In Hebrews 1, it is written, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. His word is the word of divine omnipotence. Many speak of the mighty devil. He likes that so much. I don't like it at all. I feel no joy. My heart enjoys when I can speak of the Almighty God. I like it even more when I can say something about the defeated devil. Did the Lord, as the seed of the woman, crush the head of the old serpent, yes or no? Did he triumph on Golgotha, yes or no? Are God's promises yes and no, or are they yes and amen? What are they? Yes and amen. In our time, a time of uncertainty, a strange word has been used, at least in our country, yain, yes and no at the same time. Have you heard it? I don't like it at all. God's word is not yes and no, this way and that way. God's word is not yes and no, somehow in between. Then we are caught between two chairs. No, God's word is eternally yes and amen. And here we remember the fulfillment of the promises in the life of Jesus, our Lord. We have emphasized this here. From his birth to his ascension, everything was the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. His birth, his life, his ministry, his work, his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, everything was foretold and fulfilled accordingly. But now, the things that concern us have also been foretold and are being fulfilled through us. So we too have become an integral part of the Word of God. We do not just hear the Word, we are part of the Word. Do not be surprised that in Psalm, what is it, 82 probably, and then in John 10 it is written, the Lord has called those to whom the word was addressed gods. Why? Because divine substance has entered into them. How have we become sons and daughters of God? Because we have changed our faith from one church to another? That does not mean anything at all. Because divine substance has entered into our lives, namely the Word as divine seed, and the Spirit came upon this Word and made it alive. And so we too have been born again. Therefore, I have declared the end from the beginning. God has complete overview. He made a plan before the foundation of the world. He revealed this plan to His servants and prophets here and there. And today, at the end of time, we may have a complete overview of God's plan as never before on earth. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? There was no time on earth when the Word of God, the plan of God, I mean the complete overview of God's plan of salvation, was revealed in this way. Look, even the greatest apostle Paul had passed away before John was given the revelation on the Isle of Patmos. He too had not yet seen some things that were part of God's plan, because the time had not yet come. But now, at the end of days, God has sent a prophet and has revealed, in the true sense of the word, the whole counsel of God, from Moses to Revelation. This is something precious and a blessing for all of us. Let me read a few passages from this sermon. You are familiar with Brother Branham's style of preaching. He sometimes jumps from one topic to another, but the thoughts that are revealed are always precious. I will read from page 4, starting in the middle, where it says, I feel that I have a message from God. I don't want to be different, but I must be honest. And if I don't speak my convictions, then you can't have no confidence in me, because I would be more like a traitor or a hypocrite. I want to be anything else besides that. I might lose a few friends on earth, but I want to stay true to my convictions, to what I think is right. I would like to stop here for a moment. You all know how many friends Brother Branham had. when he was at the height of his ministry, he said, let me use the word, with pride, he said, I am connected to about 10 million people through my ministry. A beautiful number. And I don't think a prophet of God needs to exaggerate. His ministry was so powerful that the masses were just carried away, and one told another, and people flocked to him. Everyone wanted to rent the largest football stadiums, the largest venues there were, and invite him to come and preach the gospel. There was also a high point in Jesus' ministry. The crowds had left everything behind, and suddenly there was a turning point. Added to the evangelistic and healing ministry came the prophetic word. The deep teaching came, and lo and behold, everything was completely different. Suddenly, the Lord had to say sadly, will you also go away from me? And Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Brother Branham had to pass on what he received from God, regardless of whether people misunderstood it. We think of one of the greatest evangelists, or one who became great. There is a small difference, not just a play on words, between someone being a great evangelist and an evangelist becoming great. But one of these great men, as you read in the sermon, he wanted to lay his hands on Brother Branham that he gets normal again and stop preaching these things that were causing the people to stumble. Who remembers that? Of course, you have all read the sermon. And Brother Branham, a man with divine love and divine wisdom, said, listen, Oral, that can happen, but on the condition that I can also lay my hands on you and pray for you so that God will help you. That's how it is. Yes, we see that great men were concerned about what would happen to this man's ministry. Where are those men today? One of them, I read in a major magazine, became president of the Methodist Church. So, turning his back on the full gospel, the very man who wanted to lay his hands on Brother Branham so kindly. I will tell you one thing, not as a threat of judgment, but when a person is offered the truth, he must accept it. If he rejects it, it may happen that he will never be offered it again. And whoever goes against the light will be blinded by the light. The word can shine as brightly as it wants, but if we walk against the revealed word that shines in the darkness, it will blind us, just as a spotlight would blind us. But if we walk in the same direction as the light, even the brightest light will not blind us. it will illuminate the path we are to walk. Amen. That's right. What did Brother Branham always love to sing? We walk in the light, beautiful light. And when he sang, he could play the guitar quite well. You may not have known that. Brother Branham could play the guitar very well, but singing wasn't really his thing. Similar to me, he always sang between the notes, but he sang from his heart. When he sang, "We walk in the light," he knew what he was talking about. Divine light, divine word, revealed through the Holy Spirit. That reminds me of something I said recently in Zurich, comparing it to the fact that you have to know which direction to go in. I think at the beginning of these meetings, I pointed out that we have to be careful not to be tossed to and fro by the enemy and then let ourselves be robbed of our blessings. But one brother actually asked another, "Have you really met the devil yet?" And he said, "No, not yet." And then he said, "Yes, now I understand. Then you are going in the same direction as him." And that is how it can happen to us. If we go in the same direction as him, then there will never be a confrontation. But when Christ comes into our lives, a spiritual battle begins. Then we go in the direction of the Lord, and that will always be opposite to what the devil wants. I will continue reading from page 4, a little below the middle. But see, every true sign from God has a message, a voice that follows. You know how God gave Moses the two signs, but then there was a divine commission to lead the people of Israel out. This commission was already there before and was then carried out. It is not only signs and wonders that accompany a divine calling, but God's purpose. And what is that? Just a few miracles here and a few signs there? No. The leading out and liberation of his people. That's how it was with Moses. Not just great signs and wonders, but the call, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "I won't even think about it." And then the hand of the Lord came upon him more and more heavily. And suddenly it happened that the people of Israel set out. I'll read on. Last paragraph. That's what a sign does. Moses had the signs that we spoke of the other night. And that signs had voices, and the voice spoke. Jesus went forth, also healing the sick. He was a great man. But then the time came when he acted on earth as prophet. We have already emphasized this. The misunderstanding about our Lord lay in his prophetic ministry, because he knew everything. He could tell the Pharisees what they were thinking in their hearts. He could say to Nathanael, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." What was it? The unbelievers thought, "Oh, what is this?" That seemed strange to them. Who is this man? And the scribes were unbelieving. Do not tell me that they were believers. Yes, they believed what they wanted to believe, but they did not believe God. And there are enough of them. When it comes to believing God, I will tell you who believes best. The devil. The devil believes that there is a God and trembles. Is that true? That's what it says in James. If someone says, "I believe in God," if it is a naughty person, then you can tell him, "So does the devil." If it is a dear child of God, then say, "Me too." Do you understand that? That alone does not legitimize anyone. You must not only believe in God, you must believe God. You have to believe what God has said and accept his word as true, and only then does it begin. Third line on page 5. But when the time comes that they've got to change their ideas about things, that's when the trouble comes. Some heard the message with joy. Suddenly, a highly respected preacher received a phone call. Someone said, "Brother Branham preached about the seed of the serpent," and there was great consternation. Why? Because people could not humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. And they search their Bible scriptures, and because they have no revelation, they do not understand the mysteries of God. God has everything, and I almost said, he has not placed everything important on the surface, where it can be trampled by men, but he has kept it a little hidden. It is not on the surface, but we read in the prophet Isaiah, "I will give you the treasures hidden in the darkness and the hidden riches of secret places." What means nothing to others is precious to us. Hallelujah! Praise be to the living God. When one speaks of the Godhead, then people say, "That's all the same to me." When one speaks of baptism, then they say, "Baptism is baptism." And so it goes down the line. It is not the same to us. For we read in the scripture, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. People have several lords, several baptisms, and many faiths. With God, everything is singular. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And it must be the biblical baptism, the biblical faith, the Lord of Lords, of whom it is said, "There is no God but me." I read on. He comes here because it's between Christmas and New Year. He says here, in the middle of page 7, "I have chosen this text because we are in the time between Christmas and New Year. At the end of the old year, and the beginning of a new one. A few days from now, many people will be turning new pages and doing new things and making new vows, because it's the beginning of a new year. It will be the same for us. Just wait a few more hours, and the closer the dawn of the new year approaches, the more specific the ideas and desires become within us, whether in the spiritual or earthly realm. And we notice how we are urged within ourselves, and we say, Lord, in the coming year, I want to serve you better. There is no child of God who does not have such a desire within them to come closer to the Lord, to serve him better, to be at his disposal. May the Lord grant us the ability to accomplish what we desire. On page 8, in the last paragraph, it says, the world's just about to fall apart. As I preached on once somewhere about a Christmas message, the world falling apart. And the world again is just about to come to pieces. Look at the earthquakes over here in California. I predict before the coming of the Lord Jesus that God will sink that place. I believe that Hollywood and Los Angeles and them filthy places over there, that God Almighty will sink them. They'll go beneath the bottom of the sea. I wanted to read this on purpose, because I'm always asked, will it happen before the rapture, or will it happen after the rapture? And here, Brother Branham says, very clearly, I will read it again, that God will sink that place before the coming of the Lord Jesus. So, that's how it will be. On page 9, I read something above the middle. There is something that's got to call out. We are in a critical hour. The world is. But the church, the real church, not the denomination, but the church itself, is ready for the greatest triumph it ever made, the coming of the groom to the bride. So, there is a victory march. There is a triumph that the bride will experience. The Lord Jesus will reveal himself to his own. On page 10, I read something above the middle. I wonder today, what about our prayers? You hear them say, pray for a great revival. Pray for this. Pray for a breakthrough. Pray for unity. I wonder if we would accept it, if God would send such a program. I just wonder if we would accept what he sends to us. You see, the reason that we pray for these things is because we know it's needy. But when God sends it in the way that He wants it, then it's not according to our taste, and therefore we won't receive it. Brother Branham is speaking in general terms here. And believe me, there are people who pray around the clock. They make prayer chains, they wrestle, they fast, they plead. I know people who go into the mountains. I have met them, especially in South Korea. They go into the mountains and stay there overnight. And there must be at least enough of them so that everyone can sleep for an hour while the others stay awake and pray and take turns. They pray, they plead. In their hearts, there is a hunger for God. God should reveal Himself. God should speak. God should act. That is their prayer. Yes, God has spoken. God has acted. And they do not yet know it. They pray past God. They have their own ideas, their own plans. And then they want to be on stage themselves. When their own plans come to fruition, God cannot answer them. God has His own plan, His own program, and we must submit ourselves to it and let ourselves be placed in it. Here Brother Branham says very clearly, people pray, Lord, send a revival, grant a breakthrough, reveal Yourself, and so on. And then they have their ideas of how He should do it and how they will play their part in it. No, that is not how it works. We must leave it up to God to decide how and when He will do it and whom He will use to do it. Brother Branham says this in reference to the fact that people at that time completely ignored the coming of the Messiah. He was the troublemaker. He was the one who shook things up a bit everywhere. He didn't suit them at all. They wanted the Messiah, when He came, to come to them and fit right into their program, because they were, after all, in the temple of God, serving as servants of God. That everything had long since died, that it was only a formality, they didn't even notice it. The Lord came to His own, and His own received Him not. Now Brother Branham compares our time with that time. At that time, there was a lot of religious activity. And when the Lord entered the temple, He was seized with anger. The zeal consumed Him, and He lashed out, overturned the tables, and beat up the merchants, and drove them out of the temple. And what happened? They looked around and asked, "Who gave you the authority to do this?" He had divine authority, for it was written, "The zeal for the house of the Lord has consumed me." And it was also written, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." The scriptures were fulfilled, and the Lord cleared up. Only then can He begin anew. Have we been able to mix the old and the new? No. Purge out the old leaven from your hearts, that ye may be a new lump. There are many who have joyfully accepted some new things and then thrown them into the old baking trough, and then the stirring started again. And before you knew it, everything was bloated. You all know, leaven has a good function. It can make a lot out of a little. It puffs the whole thing up really nicely. There are many who are puffed up. They go around the country. And that is the best sign that they have not yet gotten rid of the old leaven. Brother Branham was not sent to add something new to the old, but to declare the old, the unbiblical, the ungodly, null and void, and to clean up so that it can be restored in the Church of the Living God. But let's not just think about others. Every now and then you meet people who are close to you. And Brother Rus, and suddenly you realize, Brother, you weren't meant, everyone knows that. You were just breathing a sigh of relief. But there are people who actually still use old traditions as their proof and act as if God had never spoken at all. And that cannot be. The Lord has revealed His word to us, that we may abandon all our own interpretations once and for all as null and void, and accept the word revealed by God. Almost the last third on page 10, everybody's at attention, snapping. What's the matter? Quieten down. Where are you going? That's what's making the insane institutions fill up. That's what's got the Church in such a turmoil. They are so headbound on certain things. They won't stop and consider God's word and the hour that we are living in. All are under a strain, tension. We are experiencing this today, so many years after Brother Branham said this. Yes, to an even greater extent. How quickly everyone loses their temper, and you don't want to. You want to be nice, be good, everything should be fine, and then a small issue arises, and then you explode, says Brother Rus. We live in a terrible time. The Zeitgeist has taken hold of the whole world. But the Spirit of God can deliver us from the spirit of this age so that we do not always fall apart, but can truly bear with one another in the love of God. And when someone says something that is not exactly tailored to our standards, let us bear it and let us leave everything to the one who judges justly. We live in a very evil time, a nervous time, a deceitful time. I can still remember days, whether it was my dad or others, when no written contract was ever made. A handshake was a handshake. That was a contract. It was valid. Today, people draw up contracts. They are stamped. A seal is put on it. And before you know it, it means nothing anymore. People must have lost all respect for themselves long ago. But they are spiritually blind and do not even recognize what is going on. We, however, as children of God, suffer terribly from this. This should not be recorded now. But even in our country, there is so much injustice in the courts that it is just incomprehensible. And then someone is foolish enough to say, "Listen, Mr. Frank, I'll explain to you how my case was so successful." Yes, the people who were on the other side played tennis together, and the outcome of the trial was already decided in advance, because those who fought each other had long since decided in front of the parties what would be announced. Yes, this exists. Of course, not in Austria nor in Switzerland. But we have such cases here. Let it be complained to God. But we are grateful that no one knows about it, not even me. On page 12 it says, page 12, second sentence, "If you ever will be in heaven, you was in heaven to start with. You are part of God. You were His thought. He knew your name." Didn't we read that before? He called us by our names. We were in God and were born out of Him. What does Paul write to the Ephesians in chapter 5? He speaks there of the relationship between husband and wife, and then comes to the climax and says, "I speak concerning Christ and the church. We are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, born of the same Word and the same Spirit of God, from which He was begotten." Amen. Amen. Therefore it is written, "He was not ashamed to call us His brothers." And it is written, "I have revealed your name to my brothers." Jesus said, "Go and tell my brothers." All scripture had to be fulfilled. He, the firstborn among many brethren. Yes, if He is the firstborn, who are the firstborn? If He is the Son of God, who are the sons of God? Amen. Thank you, Brother Müller. Yes, that is what we all are. Do you realize? I will use the word. God wanted... No, I cannot say it. But you know what I mean. God wanted many sons and daughters of God. It's so hard to express in earthly words. But you know exactly what I mean. It is written of Jesus, when he gives his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You can read that in the prophet Isaiah. Beloved, we are simply grateful to God. I have underlined pages and pages here. What more can we say? We should thank the Lord for what He has given us, for the light, for the clarity, for the revelation, for everything we have been given by grace. God, the Lord, may He make us grateful. May He bless us. May He lift up His countenance upon us and give us His peace. May He reveal Himself to each one of us according to the Scripture, a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. I live, and ye shall live also. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord wants our cup to overflow. If even those who have not received as much as we have had an overflowing cup, what will happen to us? At the end of all this teaching and preaching, must we not utter the prayer to the Lord that was also left to us in the Holy Scripture? Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray in the right way, to worship, to give thanks, and to praise your name. He will do it. Praise be to His holy name. Amen. Amen. Let us stand up to worship. We sing the chorus. Therefore, I worship you, my God. I worship you. Therefore, I worship you. My God, I worship you. From the bottom of my heart, as I can, I worship you, Jesus. Beloved, before we move on to give thanks, I would like to ask one final question. How many of you have found God's Word to be new and great in the various contexts during these days? Amen. 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 How many of you have found God's Word to be more precious? Amen. How many of you feel that the Lord loves us deeply? Hallelujah. How many have already felt that we love one another more deeply? Amen. Amen. Love must not be of the tribe of take. You all know there were many tribes in the Old Testament, but the tribe of take is not listed anywhere. Yet it is the most widespread. Everyone seems to be of the tribe of take. Everyone expects everything from everyone else. God wants us all to have something to give to each other. Everyone loves everyone else with all their heart, as God loved us in Christ. Let us not be from the tribe of take, but from the tribe of give. That will be better. Give each other a little of the divine love, and you will see how good it feels. At one point, Brother Branham says, through love, the sick can also be healed. You don't always need the gift of healing. Apparently, you don't even always need faith. Divine love and the right words spoken at the right time, in the right tone, can bring about the miracle of healing. How many of us have the desire to truly be at the Lord's disposal so that He can move forward with us? I must tell you quite honestly that these meetings, which were only a fragment of the whole, have become so precious to me that I simply have to say that they have brought us closer to perfection. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Every piecemeal that comes from God brings us closer to perfection. And that has happened in these days. And I only hope that no one was left out or excluded, but that everyone was inwardly involved, and that everyone can take something or even a lot with them. May the word that has been distributed and proclaimed in these days may it bear fruit. Brother Müller, who came into my office very briefly, he said to me, Brother Frank, you will be rewarded one day. Something like that is what you said. You know my attitude. I do not want any reward. I know how heartfelt and sincere you meant. I wish the same for you and for all of us. Do you know what I wish for as a reward? All of you. I don't want any other reward, but I want to see all of you there again. God cannot give me a greater reward than the blood-bought multitude of this generation. And it will come forth and at the end be without spot or wrinkle. And then we will all be happy when we see each other again with God in glory. Perhaps you will say, Brother Frank, it looked so miserable down there, and sometimes the dynamic was lacking, but by the grace of God, we are all here now. The dynamics will come. First, the mechanism has to be fixed so that the oil doesn't leak out everywhere, right? And when the mechanism is fixed, then the oil goes in. And then the story ignites. And then the Lord will do what we are waiting for. Praise be to His holy name. Faithful God, how could we not worship and lift up our voices to You, who have called us and who speak to us and who mean well with us in every way, O Lord? We have waited so long for this, and we are surprised by Your word, Lord. You have given us much, Lord. We don't even know how all this has come to pass. And all this by grace, O Lord, You have given, beyond asking and understanding. And we know that You will go even further with us. When Your hour has come, Lord, You will reveal Yourself in power and move Your mighty arm, Lord, so that many will see, O Lord, and many will recognize the way of truth. My God, this is our desire and our prayer. We thank You from the bottom of our hearts for all the precious words we have been allowed to hear again, O my God. All the promises You have given through Your servant and prophet, which are still outstanding, must be fulfilled. O Lord, we see how everything is hanging in the balance and how everything is being fulfilled. Thanks and honor, praise and glory and worship to your glorious name of Jesus. Amen.